Recording.
Okay. Hey, folks, it is April 21, 6:03 p.m. I call this monthly meeting of the Nashua Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. Roll call, please, Chris.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
I'm here.
Secretary Holland.
Here.
And Director Duquette.
Here.
All present.
Okay. So that brings us to public input. Does anybody have anything to comment on or ask about with respect to this evening's agenda? Okay, I'll take that silence as a no. Brings us to...
Ellis, take him away.
Excuse me one second. Nick's chiming in. Nick? Okay. All right, go ahead and chime on. I got you. Fight.
Okay, that brings us to approval of the NAA public minutes of March 17, 2021.
I'd make a motion to approve.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor of approving the March 17, 2021 minutes, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so that motion carries.
Could I interrupt for a minute?
Go ahead, please.
Could we add to that the non-public to approve the non-public minutes also? From March 17th to 22.
You're doing together then? That's fine. I'd make a motion to approve them both together.
No, separately, but...
Oh, all right. Yeah, I was thinking to do that.
It wasn't on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
And I just wanted to, didn't want him to forget.
No, that's a good catch.
Sorry.
Good idea.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve the non-public minutes for March 17. Does anyone second that?
I will.
Okay, any discussion on the non-public minutes for March 17? Okay, I'll take that as a no. All those in favor of approving the non-public minutes for the March 17 meeting, say aye.
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 Okay, opposed. Okay, so those minutes are approved. Brings us to the Treasurer's Report. So approval of the March 2021 financial statement subject to audit. Comments, David?
Okay, I want to make sure I'm sharing the right screen here. Can you get it?
There we go.
Okay. So there's the agenda. Hold on. So what I want to do is just, I'm going to do a couple of things today. I don't want to skip the balance sheet. The balance sheet, if you just take a quick look at it, which is right here, everything looks pretty healthy. The biggest thing you got going on this time, you got project numbers for payables in there because now this project has started. And so we're starting to get some bills from people. So you're going to see that's in there. But the funding is also on its way. So that doesn't get paid until the funding comes in. So, that's going to affect the net income, which I'm not going to worry about in the balance sheet piece. But basically, from an operational perspective, a lot of the numbers are pretty static. The cash position is very good, continues to be very good, and we're not in any jeopardy of going out of business in the near future. So that's the overview of the balance sheet. I want to skip down now to the operational report of income and loss. And what I want to do is I'm gonna put this is the detail that you've all seen before and you've all have access to it. I want to break away from this for a minute. We put together just a more summary level report. But basically, what happens here is that if you look at the budget, the budget's always pretty, you know, is whatever was passed last year. And then the actuals come in, and we're at 9 months now. So this, in total, this comparison to actual down here. So the bottom line is you have year-to-date actual 9 months. Is this number here, the 129.18, and then to budget, we thought the budget was going to be about 3,600, and so we got a positive variance of 117,000. So, you know, we're in pretty good shape against budget, and the reason for all that is, this is where the new magic comes in. What the heck? There you go. Oh, here we go. So you should be, have you seen the same report? No. So this is a new report we put together. I don't know why it's truncated over here, but this is a 9 months actual, the variance, just the variance column, the 9 months actual to budget. So if you just go down the list here, this is a more of a 5,000 foot level view. You know what? I'm gonna hold on just for a second, folks, if you don't mind. I'm gonna just pull up the real report, not to be confused with the one I just showed you. Only because it has for some reason the right hand side of this thing got cut off. So I'm going to do a new share, which is this guy here. So hopefully now you're seeing the whole report. Can you, is it big enough for everybody?
Sure.
Okay. So anyway, these are the differences. These are the variances to budget. And so we're 65,000 better than we thought we were going to be to budget. And these are the reasons up here. You know, the biggest thing, of course, is the $69,000 CARES Act that we didn't expect when we did the budget. We've got some insurance reimbursements from some crazy drivers that the expense of which is sitting down in the expense column that we've paid for. And then, you know, higher tie-down rates, higher tie-down fees that we've collected. We basically budgeted, you know, that we... Susan and I looked at this pretty carefully, and the only conclusion is that we were conservative in what we were expecting for tie-down fees for this year. So the actuals are just simply coming in higher than we thought. The lower fuel flow fees, you know, obviously fewer operations, lower SNHU flight school activity than expected. And then the lower snow removal revenue, it's 9 storms we got, which versus 11 that we planned for. And then the interest income is down because of the CD rates. And then we got some expenses, the payroll, basically lower than planned salaries. We had an employee switch over to a single health insurance plan versus a family, which is a significant difference. And then all these other things here, again, just simply, sometimes we just didn't spend what we thought we were going to spend, very simply. You know, we had some stuff down here where we're deferring some activity. We're not going to do a lot of marketing this year. We're going to do it next year. We got some, you know, employee educational stuff we're going to push off to next year. We got travel pushed off to next year. So because of, you know, just simply there's no place to go. So anyway, again, the fuel and diesel, we didn't have to move the piles around as much as we used to. So we didn't use as much fuel. So this is kind of an overview of where we are today. And that's that $117,000 positive variance. So we basically had $65,000 more revenue than we thought. And we had $51,000 lower expenses than we thought. And so the total positive variance to budget is $117,000 that you saw in the earlier detail. Okay? So, anybody have any questions on this stuff?
Dave, thanks for breaking this out. I know that there's always a question sometimes in the budget numbers why things are a little bit off, and
right. This
is helpful. Thank you.
Okay, and we, you know, Susan and I, we're going to be using this to, you know, this kind of review that we've been doing to help us with the 2022 budget. So we're a little more, it just makes the process better.
Yeah, I think this is great. We do a winners and losers type of thing too, and so, you know, being able to include this in the packet going forward will be great.
Yeah, I think we're gonna. Yeah, we talked to Susan about that today. I think we're gonna try and do that. Put this kind of analysis in right in the package. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody? Let's do this. This brings us back to our other screen. So that's that $117,000 we just saw on the summer report. So that's it in a nutshell for the finances. Anybody have any questions or comments, suggestions? Let me know.
No, that's great. I'd make a motion to approve the minutes as the financials as submitted, subject to audit.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion on the treasurer's report then? Hey, all those in favor of approving the March 2021, financial statement subject to audit, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so that carries. Communications. I don't see any communications in here, I received, Chris and I both received some communications, this month, regarding, a person who wants to develop some land adjacent to the airport. I don't know if you want to comment on that right now, Chris.
Sure, I can talk about it. So Farrell and I were given this package, I think it was Saturday. I can't really recall now. James Orange and a group of neighbors up on Massasoit, which is the road that borders the airport back off the India ramp, they went to a planning or zoning hearing. Somebody's looking for a variance for a piece of land that they're looking to develop, that actually borders the airport. And the folks in that neighborhood are opposed to this because it would mean that they would have to get access from Massasoit, the end of Massasoit, and then a little bit down Deerwood onto this 3-acre lot that is essentially locked in around airport property. And so they gave Carol and I a packet. I've since had a discussion this morning with Carter Falk from the city, and I asked him what was going on because we were never notified as an abutter. And they basically, I think the city's position is the city owns the land, and that's why we weren't notified. But we're going to look into this a little bit further and see what they're actually trying to do with the piece of land.
Chris, who did you talk to at the city?
Carter.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty poor excuse.
Well, I talked to Steve Bolton as well. I called Steve at first, and he wasn't aware of it. He wasn't at the hearing. He told me to contact Carter. I told Carter that we'd have a follow-up discussion. Apparently, according to Jim Arendt, it was discussed in the meeting. The neighborhood asked why the airport wasn't involved. As you know, Jim is one of our tenants on the field, and he assumed our position, and he was correct that we opposed the development. So we'll look into this a little bit further. Like I said, we just got this on Saturday.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and to clarify, the meeting that occurred was the Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting. And the city didn't inform us because, well, the city owns the airport property itself, correct?
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
But where the lessor?
Yes.
And yeah, we should have been notified.
I agree with you, David. I think we should have been notified too. But anyway, that's kind of water under the bridge at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
So, anyway, that brings us to reports. So first up is the tower report. If you can scroll to that, David, please.
Yep. Getting there. Oops, wrong tower. There we are. Everybody tip their heads around?
Yeah.
How's that?
That looks good. Yeah. Hide everybody's picture for a moment. There we go. Thank you. So it looks like for March 2021, we had 7,098 operations. That's up over last month by 29%. And it looks like year over year, 2020 to 21 change, we're up 30%. So that's the direction we want to see.
Yep.
So hopefully as the weather gets a little nicer, we'll have even more operations going forward.
I did at least 50 touch and goes, so I get to claim a little bit of part of
it. Good for you, Jess. That's fantastic.
But there were so many people flying. It's great. The weather's actually been pretty good for this time of year.
It has. Dave is, I think, almost done with my airplane, so I'll be able to put that together and go tear up the skies myself pretty soon, assuming I remember how to fly it.
With the requisite NOTAM, of course.
So let's see. That brings us to airport manager report.
Okay. Unfortunately, recent events, still none. We're going to change that this year. Upcoming events, June 19th, the annual New Hampshire Aviation Museum Flying and Barbecue will be held at Nashua Airport as it had in the past. It was an annual barbecue. Unfortunately, I had to cancel it last year due to COVID. So again, that's June 19th. It's a paid event that sponsors the Aviation Museum in Manchester. June 23rd through the 27th, we have the Commemorative Air Force coming to Nashua. They're going to be bringing in the B-29, the B-24, a T-6, B-51, and a B-13 Stearman. You can go to their website and you can prearrange rides. It's airpowersquadron.org/Nashua-New Hampshire. Looking forward to having them. They had a great showing last time they were here and record attendance, and hopefully we'll do that again this year. Other items of interest. March 26th, I made a PowerPoint presentation for the RISE group at Riviere College. It's a group of people that are just interested in continuing education. They picked, I think, I would say random subjects, and they chose the airport. And so we had an hour-long presentation, and it was actually a lot of fun. And a lot of people had a lot of good questions. And hopefully I'll get to do this again next year. April 2nd, we had our Taxiway Alpha Project Pre-Bid Conference via teleconference, and Nick will talk about that in a few minutes. April 5th, we started the Phase 1 of the pavement maintenance project. So that has finally begun, and as of yesterday, we actually put down the first course of asphalt. And again, Nick, I won't steal all your glory here. This is your and Danny's project, so I'll let you talk about that. April 20th, Farrell and I attended a budget review with Mayor Donches and his staff. That went well as we expected. We also were able to let the city know that we were no longer seeking the nearly $200,000 match for the Taxiway Alpha rehabilitation. And they were pretty excited about that. As you can imagine, as the mayor said, money is tight right now. Again, the FAA is going to be sponsoring the Eagle Claw exercise, and that'll start on June 1st through the 30th, and people need to check NOTAMs. It's the Chugg's Temporary MOA in the vicinity of Wyndham, Vermont. hangars. We have two hangars currently for sale at Nashua at 13 Perimeter Road. And we also have community hangar space available, as always, with Nashua Jet, as well as Infinity Aviation. And I'd also like to thank Nashua Jet, Judge McLaughlin, Shane McLaughlin, Mary Parker, and Bob Bird for a very generous donation to the Airport Authority. They donated a brand new American flag and the state of New Hampshire flag. This is actually the second time that they've done that in the last year, so it's greatly appreciated. And we will proudly fly these in our Memorial Park at the end of Perimeter Road. Anybody have any questions? Crickets.
Okay. So that brings us to the engineer's report. And is Nick online?
If I am. Can you guys hear me?
Indeed.
All right. So getting to the agenda here, Gail is currently administering two projects on behalf of the authority. The first being the phase two pavement maintenance job. As Chris mentioned, Continental Paving began construction on phase one on April 5th. So at the time of this meeting, I apologize, my number is off by one. Today was contract day number 17 in the phase one work area. Again, at the time the agenda was prepared, the contractor's schedule shows paving operations began on Friday. Well, Friday the weather was sort of bad, so they pushed it to yesterday, and the first course of pavement has gone down. So from here, they're going to set up the porous pavement underlayment, the gravel that goes underneath the porous, and they'll be paving that this week, as well as paving the top course, I believe on Friday. So it's looking like they're going to be finishing up phase one in the next couple of weeks here. Per their schedule, they are shown to enter phase two on May 10th. However, if the necessary coordination with the airport tenants is completed, the contractor may request permission to begin that phase a little bit earlier. But at this point, May 10th is the hard date for phase two. So coming into the end of the month here, Gail is going to be processing all of the payment items, all of the quantities that have been measured to date, and putting it into what's called a periodic cost estimate. And that will serve as the contractor's invoice to the authority for the work completed to date. Once approved, we will work that into a reimbursement request for NHDOT, which will cover all project costs to date. So recommended actions of the authority are to please coordinate with hangar tenants and owners in the phase two work area to make sure the necessary accommodations for moving and or access to their aircraft have been made, and to please review and sign the reimbursement package upon receipt. Just sort of thinking off the top of my head here, we did have a construction progress meeting today during which Continental had requested an additional 3 days of contract time. We will be processing a change order to the construction contract for Continental. It is to offset the additional cost of relaying some pipe that once we got into the phase one work area, we noticed that there was a drainage structure that was scheduled to be modified. And during the preliminary investigations of that drainage structure, we noticed that the pipes coming into and out of that structure were sort of sagging. So they were about 70% full of water because the water just couldn't get up over that little sag to get into the structure. So an unforeseen circumstance that we thought it would be best to do the right thing and repair it properly. And there is a cost associated with that, but it will be more than absorbed by the contingencies that we carry in the contract. So no change to the overall grant amount. And obviously, since it's being funded 100% by the FAA, no cost to the authority either. Any questions on the pavement maintenance project?
Nick, well, just real quick on the phase on this. So you're saying that the next phase, phase two, is May 10th, but they want three more days. Is that three more days on phase one or in total?
Well, the additional work is related to phase one, so I believe they would like it phase one to have 3 additional days, but it will increase the overall contract time by 3 days as well.
Okay. So it may be the 13th instead of the 10th.
At our construction progress meeting, they indicated that they would still be on track to finish up phase one, and then they intend to provide a 10 or so day or 15 day waiting period where they request a stoppage of the contract time between phase one and two, and that would allow them to mobilize the necessary equipment and allow the authority ample time to relocate aircraft if needed. So there will be a stoppage between the phases. So I don't think that the additional 3 days would push the start of phase two at all.
Okay, so phase two is still marked May 10th.
That is correct.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Nick, I have a question. Thanks for your report here, but I was just curious, what can you confirm the end date for phase one?
I have the contractor's schedule right here. And they show a final cleanup and reworking of the phase one work area occurring. The last day would be May 7th. So the 5th through the 7th, they would be doing that. I'm sorry. That is the suspension time. Pavement markings, 5-4, the 4th of May. And then the suspension time would be the 5th through the 7th.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for the update.
Hi, Nick.
Yes.
Steve Grillette here. I just have a quick question. I may have missed it if you had mentioned it. Mm-hmm. On the south side of India, I see some construction going on. What is that all about?
The south side of
India? South
side
of India.
That is the contractor's staging and stockpile area.
So it's nothing new that we're going to be using hereafter.
Yeah. Nope, that is their area to store equipment, materials, and I guess contractor parking as well. So that will be restored to its original condition at the end of the project.
I see. All right. Thank you.
Okay. And then moving on to the second project, and that is the Rehabilitate Taxiway Alpha and Associated Taxiway project. We have not received comments back from NHDOT on the bid documents. Therefore, we move forward with the bid opening scheduled for April 16th. The project received interest from the following bidders: Busby Construction, Continental Paving, Merrill Construction, Sargent Corp, WL French Excavating, and Weaver Brothers. So again, at the time this was prepared, we had not opened the bids yet. So the note here is, upon opening of the bid, Gale will announce the apparent low bidder and begin preparing the required grant application. The grant applications were sent in on the 19th. Those were executed by Chris and forwarded to DOT electronically. So we're in good shape there. They've confirmed receipt of that application. The low bidder was Sargent Corp. They are out of Stillwater, Maine. We have worked with them in the past. They did an excellent job reconstructing the Biddeford runway this past year. They've also worked at large airports like the Auburn-Houston Airport up in Maine. So while they are not from New Hampshire, I have faith that they will send the proper manpower and equipment down here. So Gale is in the process of preparing the recommendation to award the project to Sargent Corp. It was a very tight bidding for this job. There were 3 bids received from Busby Construction, from Continental, and from Sargent, and they were all within about $30,000 of each other, with Sargent Corp being $2,030,000. Then Continental was the second low bidder at $2,061,000. And Busby was the third at $2,062,000. So we have prepared the grant application to request funding, and again, that has already been submitted. And we will begin coordination with the contractor to initiate the contract circulation between the contractor and the airport authority. And as the grant is issued, we will then make the necessary coordination for construction. So,
Decker, just a real quick question. Sorry. Are we compelled to use a low bidder?
Yes. Unless their bid was for some reason incomplete or they were deemed non-responsive, I don't think there's any grounds for disqualifying Sergeant Corp.
No, I wouldn't disqualify. I would just simply, so that is the sole criteria for selection. Other than other stuff, other than, you know, bad information or.
Yes, that is correct. Sorry, the dogs are barking because my wife just got home, so you may hear them.
I'm sure Sargent is a fine company. It's just that, you know, Continental has been really good for us, and I hate, you know, I just, for the sake of $30,000 on a $4 million contract or $3 million, whatever it is, you know, it's just. Now, Tether and Maine, I'm hoping there are clauses in there that allow any disputes to be resolved in New Hampshire, correct?
Yes, the location of the work will determine the jurisdiction.
Okay.
Again, I don't foresee any disputes arising.
I don't know. No, I'm not saying there would be, but I just, again, this is nothing against Sargent. It's just, for the sake of that small amount of money, it's just too bad we couldn't give it to the folks that have been doing a great job here for many years.
It is. And I think it comes down to the disadvantaged business enterprise participation.
Mm-hmm.
The second low bidder, Continental, carried about 6% disadvantaged business participation. And Sargent Corp sent in a bid with zero. So they did not meet the DVE goal for the project, but I received concurrence from both FAA and DOT that because the Nashua Airport has a race-neutral DVE program, that you cannot put a contract-specific participation goal or requirement. So the fact that Sargent Corp came in and saw sort of a loophole is why they won the bid. So a contractor like Continental, who, you know, acts in the spirit of the regulations, was actually penalized in this case by losing the job. And I brought that to FAA's attention, and I said, you know, this sets a strange precedent that for airports of this nature who have race-neutral DVE plans, it basically gives contractors permission to not solicit DVE participation. And FAA was aware that that is an issue, but they could not comment on it because it might be construed as giving guidance to an airport that might result in litigation. But they were very clear that a contractor cannot be disqualified for not meeting that goal in a race-neutral program. So it's unfortunate, but
very unfortunate.
You know, it is, but I, on the bright side, I have worked with this contract in the past and they are fully capable. So that is all I have. Any questions on the Taxway Alpha project? Okay, not hearing any. One other thing under general items, we have received confirmation that grants is issued by the FAA and the New Hampshire DOT in fiscal year 2021 will be funded at 100%, similar to the previous grant. So there will be no local share on the Taxway Alpha Rehab project as well. And that is it for me.
Yeah, the city was particularly happy to hear that this week.
I can imagine. That's money they don't need to spend. They'll always like that.
Okay.
Nick, I'm sorry. One more question. this is the amount of the contract to sergeant. You said it was 2 million something.
Yes.
And where's the rest? This is $4 million project.
Right. Keep in mind that at the time I prepared this, we had not opened the bids yet. So this was the engineer's estimated cost. Obviously, we're a bit high. Now, Gail's contract needs to fit into that $2 million, so that raises it a bit. But you're still looking at about $2.5 million.
Okay, good. I was just wondering if you guys were getting a share of $2 million.
No. Can't do that, but okay. I will update the finances for next
month. All right, this $4 million is going to be much lower.
That is correct.
Okay. And I wonder how that would affect, now that we know that, how that would affect the decision on relocating the taxiway rather than just, but I guess we can't go down that road again.
Yeah, I unfortunately think we're sort of a day late for that one. You know, our design effort for the past several months has been focused on keeping it in place. So there would be a lot of legwork involved with that, but if the authority would like, I can bring that up. It's no problem.
I mean, a couple of things. You know, how was it that it was so far off, number one, but more importantly, can we now, because there's a chance here that maybe we can relocate the thing. I don't know if that's possible at this point, but I think it'd just be worth asking the question.
Yeah, I think you'd run into a pretty hefty cost increase with relocating it at this point.
It would still be in the $4 million range, which is what the FAA is expecting.
Well, I can't guarantee it would still be within the $4 million range.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't have earthwork values for the excavation and fill that would need to be brought in to relocate it. And that would probably be a pretty big ticket item.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if that's an avenue that the authority would like to explore, I'm sorry, I don't have all the answers tonight. I would have to see what would be involved at the FAA level. But I can certainly dig into that and get back to you.
Okay.
David, is that something you would like Nick to do?
If it's not a big, you know, I don't want you reinventing the wheel here. I just think it's, you know, if we can relocate the runway at the same time rather than paving it and waiting 10 years, you know, I think it's still a good thing to look to do, but if, you know, again, I don't want to send you on a fool's errand either. So.
I mean, there's no bad or wrong questions. I can certainly look into that and follow up tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Nick. Any other questions for Nick tonight? Okay, I'll take that silence as a no. Nick, thank you.
You're very welcome.
So let's see. That brings us to committees. We have none at the moment. We have no items under either old business or new business. Chris, during his manager's report, touched upon these upcoming events, the barbecue and the CAF visit. So that brings us to public input as we, you know, think about closing out the meeting. Does anybody have any comments or anything that they would like to bring up this evening? Okay, I'll take that silence again as a no. So that brings us to director's comments. Jess, I'll start with you.
I just wanted to make a comment and mostly a commendation to Chris and Nick and Gale Engineering that we're executing this rehabilitation project for the ramps. It's going to be providing a lot of value to the airport. So thank you for your hard work to get this done and working through the funding. I know there's been challenges with the DOT, but all that's been great. And I'm excited to see the new ramp once it's paved. So great job. Really appreciate all that work.
Thank you very much.
Hey, David?
Yeah, I kind of echo what Jess said about, you know, still Continental and Gail have been a great team on this thing. And, I've checked out the progress of the thing, and it looks like it's a really well run. It's definitely going to be a benefit to the tenants. And, the whole bid process and going to somebody but Continental just doesn't sit well with me, but I understand the rules and all that stuff. So I'm not going to keep going with it, but I did want to just make that comment. And then of course, thank you again for the McLaughlin family for their flag donation. Unexpected, but generous and important.
Okay, thank you. Brian?
I would concur with everyone's comments so far, and I would just add that I participated in the Imagine Nashua Zoom back in the beginning of the month where they talked about, for instance, the Daniel Webster College parcel, and there were some folks on there that really wondered about, you know, the airport. So I was glad I was able to, talk a little bit about how the airport really is an economic engine for the city. So, Chris, I think it's great also that you went to the RISE program. You know, every opportunity that we can, remind folks what kind of an economic engine the airport is for the city. I'm glad when we can take that opportunity. So, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. And Joe?
Just a thank you to our team there at the airport for doing all they do. Continue to do a great job. Never disappoint. And that's all I got for this month.
Okay, thank you. And I'll comment that, you know, I've been out there to, you know, observe the, the work, you know, the earthwork that, Continental did, and then the subsequent, paving work that they've done. It looks fantastic. I know the folks have worked hard. They had a pretty tough day or day and a half at the end of last week, working somewhat in the in the rain and even the snow that kind of surprised us all. So I see Danny, you're on the meeting. So thanks to you and your folks and the Continental folks for that hard work. I think it's really looking good so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product. And Nick, thank you for your oversight too. Appreciate it. I'll also thank you to the McLaughlins and to Mac Air for the donation to the flag. That was something I only heard about this evening, so appreciate that too. And I guess that's enough for me. And with that, so we're going to adjourn to non-public session pursuant to RSA 91-A:3, Section 2A, dismissal, promotion, or compensation of a public employee. So this is a roll call vote to adjourn the non-public session. Chris?
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay, so that concludes our public portion of the meeting. Thank you, folks, for joining us tonight. Appreciate it.